We want to apologize. Our earlier committees started running later, stacking up. We're going to make sure that we schedule more time for the Sustainability Committee next time so we don't have this. So I just thank you for your indulgence. And we'll begin and call to order the Planning and Programming Committee meeting. Paul? Okay, we have a quorum, and we'll begin with item number one, which has to do with the LA County Transportation Improvement Plan.
Okay, where's my...
And we welcome Mr. Yale.
Thank you, and good afternoon. I'm looking for the slide button here. Where it is? Yeah, it's not there.
Slideshow.
Oh yeah, there we go. Okay, very good. Got it. Sorry, it's a new
okay.
new version of the software caught me up.
I heard there was a team effort going on there to help you.
Yeah, I've passed out copies of this to the public and to you. I'd like to run through this short presentation. This actually covers the Planning and Programming Committee item number one and number seven. I think it's best that we take these together to show you how we're going to be addressing the possible impacts of the cancellation of a fall bond sale using the TIP priorities. This is a Prop 1B overview for Los Angeles County. It also includes a small amount of Prop 1A, the formula funds from the high-speed rail bond that Metro controls. In total, we get $4.2 billion out of Prop 1B. That's all built into our long-range plan and our program. $1.3 billion of that, I'm working through the bottom line now, is allocated by the CTC and our Caltrans. These funds are committed and are often found on going construction projects. The $2.9 billion is generally for projects that haven't started construction yet and is not yet allocated. The cash flow needs in this budget year were estimated to be $620 million countywide. $174 million of that is not allocated and so is already at risk from the suspension of the spring bond sale. In going forward in FY12, another $800 million is assumed to be available from allocated and unallocated funds. We are estimating at the moment that about half of that $800 million is at risk in the fall bond sale. In total, then, $574 million is immediately at risk in this fall bond sale or the spring one that was just suspended. The projects are summarized here. This is fairly small, but only summarizes the projects of $100 million or more in our program. All the other projects are on this bottom line, the $711 million there. I've passed out a legal size sheet which gives you all the detail for all the smaller projects that are less than $100 million. So you can see this funding is spread across all our important projects, the 405, the I-5 South, the ACE project, the Gerald Desmond Bridge project, Expo Phase 2, Regional Connector, and on and on and on. We will be working to make sure that the state gets us the bond funds we need to keep our program going. The TIP item before you now, item number one, prioritizes our projects in a manner very similar to the way we prioritized them last March. Yes?
We got a question.
Can and I'm sorry if I missed it in the presentation, but the dollars are great. Can you translate this into jobs?
For the board.
Yeah, we're looking at figures from LAEDC of some 12,000 jobs per billion, not including right-of-way. or from other studies as high as 18,000 jobs per billion. So there are a substantial number of jobs at risk here. In order to get that figure, we have to tie this $4 billion to the total program size, which in total for the first decade of our long-range plan is on the order of $18 billion. So there are an enormous number of construction jobs at stake in Los Angeles County here over the next decade.
If you could refine that down, just because I think the dollar amount's important, but also the job loss that it represents is something that ought to be a key talking point for all of us when we're talking about this stuff, not just the dollars, but translate it. And the other way to do it is, you know, if the 1B sale doesn't happen this year, you know, the 405 could look exactly the way it does for the next 2 years because there's nobody working on it.
Yeah, there'd be K-rail lying all over the place.
Exactly. I mean, it'll cost $20 million, I'm told, to shutter the project. And God knows how much to start it up again. But in the meantime, everyone who lives in that corridor, it's not going to change. It's not going to get finished, et cetera. So if we can translate, you know, that into in the jobs as well, I think that's something we need to keep reminding folks in Sacramento.
Yeah. I know Mobility 21 is looking at a Southern California-wide analysis of that very issue, the jobs creation issue. The priorities we set are for projects already under construction as being, of course, our highest priority, projects with bids advertised being next, right-of-way activities for projects nearing construction. Doing all project development is a fourth priority. And then the largest category, which I want to talk about the most here, is projects that would begin or continue to do project development. That is summarized here, and the lines are tied to your attachment A and your staff report. Right now, we believe that the funding in the first decade is on this line, lines 171 through 176. That's where kind of our breaking point comes, where we won't be able to keep funding projects. This detail here, it's a little crooked, but this detail is the $585 million there, breaks out for Metrolink rehab, rail system improvements on the Red Line. Primarily, these are improvements that would be necessary to run the project at higher headways, faster headways. And a transit contingency was in there last March. It's no longer there because we used it. That use issue is summarized here. We had the $644 million in total last March. We used the contingency already, and we are starting to chew through the rest of these funds for various things that we've done, cost increases, the purchase of Union Station, and so forth. This sort of group of projects, it's unknown when we would exactly need to improve headways on the Red Line. Would that be in the second decade? If so, then it's not a problem. So we do need to look more closely at that issue. Finally, I would like to say that once we burn through this $454 million, we're starting to get into some serious, seriously important projects that are very important for Los Angeles County. And so we're close to the breaking point here where we'd have to start deferring things beyond the first decade that are really important to us. And you can see those on lines 166 through 170 in Attachment A. These are the cost increases we've approved since last March. In total, $116 million. And this is an example of what we are seeking to be delegated. I know there was some concern about the delegations to the CEO. We had a situation where we needed to reprogram funds between Expo Phase 2 and light rail vehicles. Both of these projects are in part found in the Expo Phase 2 budget, but the State Transportation Improvement Program required an amendment to move funds between these project labels in the STIP. So we discovered there would not be enough PTA funds in the STIP to fund the Expo allocation. That was in October. We moved to a STIP amendment in November, That led to a Caltrans due date of December and a CTC staff allocation vote in January. When the STIP was finally approved, we got the allocation for this first $12.5 million, which enabled us to permit the Expo Phase 2 project to go forward to award its contract. So these things are fairly technical. We like to be able to stick at the 30,000 feet level with you on priorities and not get down into the weeds on these kind of technical amendments. We think we can be more responsive to your needs and keep projects moving in this manner. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Madam Chair, if I might just comment on the last point. As regards these sorts of funding issues of colors of money, staff really has two objectives, maybe three, I guess. First of all, we want to deliver the projects. That's fundamental. Secondly, whatever money we've competed for, we want to be able to use without losing that money for one technical rule or another. And thirdly, we want to get more money for more projects. The reason for these acts, the reallocation of money by color of money to project, is not to defund projects or to lose money. It is, in fact, the opposite. It is to ensure that we don't lose money, and it is to ensure that we do not lose projects. And in fact, I'll look at David and ask him, I don't think we've ever lost a project or lost money as a consequence of these actions over the years.
No, it's the opposite. Having this ability helps us get projects finished.
Director Du Bois?
Is there ever a time frame issue? I mean, this is October through January, and awarding March. Do you always have enough time to go through the process? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's one of the issues here. If our own cycle to bring a report to you is about 60 days before your meeting. So if you added 60 days to this, we would not have been able to award the project on time had we had to go to you first at the beginning. So that's kind of the point of this slide. We need the time to keep these things moving.
Madam Chair, let me add to that. In fact, that's part of what we get paid for. If, in fact, we don't identify the problem in sufficient time to remedy it, then we lose the money. And if there's one thing that staff does not want to do, we are genetically disposed against doing, is to come to you and say that we lost money. We don't want to do that. So therefore, we are urgently motivated to make sure that we identify the problem early on and take corrective actions. Sometimes it's well in advance. Sometimes it's not so much in advance. We have to make the action quickly. But we are that we would report on such actions to the board after the fact, such that you would know what we've done.
Director Pisano.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to indicate that, in my view, I've heard about the 60-day cycle, and I support the CEO's efforts to tighten that up. It does seem to put a burden on getting information to the board. But at the same time, if there is an item of urgency, I would rather maintain the approval at the board, even if you have to walk something on that is urgent with 72 hours notice. I would prefer that it be done that way. I mean, I'm okay with approving the TIP recommendations to maintain the authorization to approve the items.
Do we have any more for the staff report?
That's the staff report.
I'm going to open the public input portion mm-hmm. of this item, and we'll have John Walsh followed by Dr. Clyde Williams.
Point of order, if you're combining the two issues, then I get 2 minutes. I brought this issue, Mr. Failing brought this issue up last month. I brought it to the LA Times. Said we have no interest. It might hurt things in Washington, D.C. on 3010. That's what they told me. In fact, yesterday in the Daily News when I went to them, it's a front page story. Bond sales canceled, no Orange Line. Orange Line? Your whole system. This is a bond tsunami. I'm telling you right now, 3010 is dead. It's a pipe dream of the mayor. And incidentally, you have $4.176 billion in capital projects, of which 3% are rail. 3%. And if you don't make those improvements on the bus, on the subway, on the red line, you're going to have an enormous accident. All, you know, you're funding junkies, HollywoodHighlands.org, and I'm taking it away from you. And if you, this entire state of California is going to hold a bogus bond sale so the mayor's friends can get contracts. Now, what did
That's
I just
Dr.
speak
Williams
on?
Dr. Williams' term.
Pardon me?
It's Dr. Clyde Williams' turn.
Okay, but what board member?
Mr. Walsh, you were speaking on the items before us. Okay.
Two. So now I only get one. Santa Monica, you're a disgrace to Santa Monica.
Dr. Clyde Williams.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. El Hamra gives us five. Okay. Items 201. This is the problem as to how much money has 710 North Extension, not the gap closure, consumed or will consume. Well, supposedly about $173.9 million. Seems like an awful lot through the year. Maybe it's up to 2019. But then there's a kind of footnote that says, well, these funds may include those things before 2010 and those things after 2019. Don't you have a PMIS system that can tell you how much these things are going to cost and when the expenditures are going to be incurred? I'd like to see the backup for these numbers regarding item 201. SR 710 North Extension. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. That concludes the public input on this item. So, committee members.
I'll move approval of recommendation A.
Pardon me? A? The left.
Yeah, there's four parts.
Right.
I think
so they're going to start with the A.
Okay,
so we'll dispose of that one. Is there any objection? Do I have a second? I'll second that. Is there any objection? No, then we're going to move item A forward. Okay, we have items B through D.
And I will move approval.
Pardon me?
Move B through D.
B through D, okay. Is there a second on that? We have a second on that. Okay. Okay, we're ready to vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay, so that passes with Director Fasana. Is a no vote. Everyone else is a yes vote. Okay, thank you. That concludes item one on the agenda, so we'll move on to the next item, number two, which has to do with adopting the Arborvitae Celica site as a locally preferred alternative maintenance facility and the Crenshaw LAX Transit Corridor Supplemental Draft EIR Impact Statement. So we'll have Ms. Berlin will provide a staff report for us. Welcome.
Thank you. This item, with the adoption of the locally preferred alternative for the Crenshaw LAX project in December 2009, the two previously identified maintenance facility sites were removed from further consideration. Since that time, we've identified and explored numerous other sites and have completed an environmental analysis on four sites. We also conducted a public outreach effort as well as a public comment period on the supplemental draft environmental impact statement and recirculated environmental impact report. The public comment period closed on April 11th, and we are asking the board to adopt the Arborvitae Blanco site, which is site 14 in the city of Los Angeles, as the locally preferred alternative. We're also asking you to receive and file the Crenshaw LAX supplemental draft environmental impact statement and recirculated draft environmental report. And Roderick Diaz, our project manager, will briefly go through the analysis which helped us come through to the conclusion that the Arborvitae Blanco site should be the locally preferred alternative.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A couple of questions. Number one, is the budget for the acquisition part of the Crenshaw budget?
Yes.
In its entirety? 100% of the purchase is in the Crenshaw budget?
What we're looking at now is in December, the board adopted a cost-sharing policy consistent with what is being done on the Gold Line East side. So right now, we are looking at what would be the allocation between the lines that would be using that yard, which would be the Green Line, existing Green Line, Crenshaw, the Green Line South Bay, as well as the Green Line LAX, and we will be bringing that forward to you on terms of a cost-sharing arrangement based on the board policy later it probably June timeframe.
In the meantime, before any of these other projects are going to get done, or two of them are going to get done, how do you propose to pay for it?
We're going to
$280 million to buy this thing?
Correct. There's a proportion that will be the Crenshaw line and the balance where we are looking for non-project specific funds that would then be reimbursed when the projects come online.
What are the project non-specific funds? Where? From where?
Dave? The non-specific project funds that would be used to
fund. For the Crenshaw maintenance yard, where is it coming from?
Well, we haven't yet determined that. We are working through a cost allocation strategy for our countywide rail yard needs.
You're asking us to approve the acquisition of this property, but you don't know how you're going to pay for it?
Rainey, this isn't an acquisition approval. It's a
we're just asking you to adopt the site, and when you adopt the project budget later this year, we're not going to be acquiring the project until the environmental document is approved. We've received a ROD, and then we will go for acquisition. You will have a budget and an acquisition, a cost-sharing plan by then.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the clarification. What are the potential sources of non-project-specific funds?
We are looking at this on a countywide basis and would use the priorities that we just brought to you to look at how this would impact our program in the first decade. We need to size it up first. We don't know how much the countywide resources need to use.
You're not getting my question. Let me be more specific. What specific source? Are you talking about Measure R money? Talking about Prop C money? What kind of money are you talking about?
And I'm sorry to say, we don't know yet. We have to work through that when we get the figure on the proper figure for allocation to this.
How would you use, is Measure R on the table?
To the extent that Measure R is paying for yards that serve projects in the Measure R program, yes.
In the case of the Pasadena Gold Line, which is on the agenda here today, What is the source of monies that the MTA is putting up for that? Not the Gold Line Authority, but what is the source of money that the MTA is putting up?
I believe it's project-specific funds and then the 2% Measure R capital. Is that correct?
It's actually Measure R 2% and or Prop A 35%.
What is Measure R 2%? Just remind me what that is.
It's line item 44 in the Measure R funding plan that pays for rail capital. Pays for operations and maintenance facilities, rail vehicles.
System improvements.
And so that's where it's coming from.
And so what is it, 74% we're picking up? Or
75%.
75%. How much of the rail capital money that's available in Measure R is going to be wiped out by that?
$198 million. It's Measure R and or Prop A, 35%. The goal line, in actuality, in the long-range plan is funded for an O&M facility. So there's also Measure Prop A, 35% funds available for the goal line O&M.
Do you know how much of the Measure R 2% is being used for this? Or is that hasn't been decided yet? It's on the agenda today.
I know $198 million of Metro's money will be capped for that particular effort.
How much money is in the 2% pot right now?
$788 million in total.
And rail capital is also the source that pays for rail cars and
yes.
things like that, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Who owns this property? Back to the Crenshaw. Who is the owner of the property?
There are four separate owners of the property right now. The property owners that we've been in contact with have been separate investment groups.
Who are they? What are their names?
There's one called Oakstone. There's one, I guess, Barthco International, the parent company of Barthco International.
Barthco?
Barthco.
B-A-R-T-H-Co?
Yes.
Okay. What are the other two?
I would need to get that information for you, sir.
Get it to me and to the rest of the committee if they're interested. Are they willing sellers, or are we going to have to acquire this?
None of the owners have filed comments negative to the selection of the site during the comment period. We have been in amicable telephone discussions with the owners, at least a few of the owners, on a monthly basis. Some of them have been apprised of our real estate process. They do appear to be amicable sellers.
What is on the property now?
Two of the sites have car rental functions associated with them, Dollar Rental Car and Avis Budget, the back office functions as well as maintenance functions. Two of the other sites have air freight associated services on them.
Thank you.
Okay, do you want to continue with your presentation?
Okay.
Started.
Just to provide context, this is this selection is under the context of the Crenshaw LAX line, which is an 8.5-mile system indicated in the olive color as connecting between the Expo line and the Green line. Because the Crenshaw LAX line is being planned to connect to the Green line and also thus to the Green line extensions that are being planned, the South Bay extension and the LAX extension, this site is relevant for those other extensions as well. We have been in a progressive process with the public starting in last January of 2010 with a series of public meetings to both develop evaluation criteria, identify sites, and we started with broad lists of 18 sites and brought it down ultimately to the four sites which are the subject of the supplemental environmental review document. The four sites include one site each in the cities of Los Angeles and Inglewood, which are in the airport area, and two sites, one in the city of Hawthorne and Redondo Beach, down using the Green Line toward the South Bay. In terms of a comparison among the sites, it's important to kind of note that there is a difference between three of the sites and one of the sites. One site is smaller, is designated as just a small expansion of the existing Division 22 in Hawthorne. The other three sites have much broader capacities and have larger profiles. Again, all are contained within industrial areas, but the smallest site, the Hawthorne site, does have a new residential community that has been developed just to the south of it, and this affects the evaluation. As Rini indicated, we did have a public comment period to this supplemental environmental document, February 25th through the April 11th. Two meetings where we did take public testimony, over 50 commenters provided comments at that time. Overall, including public testimony and written testimony, over 80 comments were received. A majority of the comments spoke about concerns related to the expansion of the small site, Division 22, related to concerns about air quality, noise and vibration, and other impacts. And then in terms of decreasing order of comments received, we did receive other comments related to Site 17, Site 15, and Site 14. Site 17 notably had comments related to the difficulty of the relocation of the very large tenant, which is located on that site, DHL, which does also play a factor in terms of the evaluation. For these reasons, and we are recommending Site 14. Site 14 meets the medium and long-term requirements for the projects we cited. The Metro Green Line, the Crenshaw LAX project, the Metro Green Line South Bay extension, and also the Metro Green Line to LAX. It's important to note that any other further extensions of those lines would not be met by this facility. So extensions beyond Torrance, south of Torrance toward San Pedro, or north of the exposition line toward Hollywood or West Hollywood would require new maintenance facility capacity at that time. This site is compatible with the surrounding area in terms of land use. Because the site's parcels located on this site are smaller and the tenants have smaller profiles, this site does have manageable relocation issues. The environmental impacts of this site are mitigable, and the total cost of this site is estimated between $280 and $290 million. As far as the next steps, we would incorporate the board selected site into the final environmental document. We have been pursuing in parallel the design, the preliminary engineering designs for the project, and that has been the subject of the final EIS, EIR. FTA has reviewed a partial version of the final EIS, EIR, and there are remaining chapters yet to be delivered to FTA planned for May of this year. We look to complete the document for public review in June with a proposed board adoption of the project in July and a federal record of decision this September. And that completes the presentation.
Director Fasana.
Just a follow-up, as I understand the report, this is really one of two yards that Metro is looking at to really achieve storage and maintenance facilities for the built-out system, however and wherever that's built. In the past, we built three or four segments and lines where we really hadn't identified maintenance facilities, but the view is now that this east facility would be the two larger regional sites that could handle the expansion of our system, whichever and how many different directions it goes. And that this is preferable to having small segmented facilities designed just to handle the needs of a particular segment.
Yes, and in fact, we've said to, as regards Crenshaw and Foothill Extension, that a yard's a requirement of doing the project. Everybody wants projects, no one wants yards, but we have to have a yards if we're going to be able to operate the system.
And certainly I think for this project, it seems that certainly for Foothill, the idea was that a yard not just for the specific segment that was being built, but subsequent segments that could be funded, could be planned anywhere throughout the system with connectivity could be handled by these central facilities rather than smaller individual facilities.
I think that's true now as the system continues to expand. I guess my hesitation is the word all. If as the system grows, East LA grows and other things grow. Right. So and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
But you don't want five or six different smaller facilities, you want it two regional facilities. Thank you.
Yeah. How much is in the Crenshaw budget for the acquisition of this project? Crenshaw Light Rail project budget.
Under current estimates, the cost assigned to the light rail maintenance facility is around in the high $100 million range. The allocation of this yard, the cost of this yard would to the Crenshaw project would actually be less than that amount. But as indicated earlier, the specific allocation is being worked out as it relates to the Crenshaw project, the Green Line South Bay extension, LAX extension, and we're reviewing the allocation in order to be consistent with what's being done for the Eastern Maintenance Facility.
In the case of the second phase of the Exposition Light Rail Line, what percentage of the maintenance yard was paid for by the Expo Authority, or by the Measure R allocation? David Yale here.
Sorry. I stood down again and thought I was that. Could you repeat the question?
Did you hear the question?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
What percentage of the maintenance yard in Santa Monica was paid for by the Measure R allocation for the Expo Phase 2 project? Was it 100%?
I believe 100%, yeah, that that yard serves that line and has no demands on it.
Well, the same could be said for any of the line. Well, certainly the Foothill line, that yard is going to serve the Foothill line until sometime in the future when something else happens. Right now, they all serve just that line. None of these other lines have been built yet. So the question that I'm asking is one of equity, because it appears that some lines are getting a break on their overall budget by having the general pot pay for a significant part of their construction budget, and the other line did not get that same break. I know what the arguments are. I don't want to rehash the arguments, and I did not object to that apportionment. But it appears to me that it's not just the sharing of burden that is at play here, but it may be driven by a desire to get as much of the fiscal obligation off the project-specific budget onto a project general budget. And
I think you're quite right to point out that we owe you better information on this, and we're working through that
now.
It's quite complicated to get this put together, and we've had several meetings. We're still working on.
What isn't complicated, David? What isn't complicated is that if this is a $300 million acquisition, and that's close to what it's going to be, you're estimating $280 to $290 million. And the budget for Crenshaw says it's an upper 100 million, 175 to 200 million is in there for this. I guess that's what that means in the high hundreds. Then to the extent that, and that's part of the Crenshaw budget, Measure R project specific budget, to the extent that you can mitigate that 190 million and force the obligation on to the general pot where all the other projects have to bear the burden, including projects who have paid 100% of their maintenance facility acquisition. You know what I'm saying.
Yes, this is for a project that is already over budget. We are just not ready for prime time on these questions. We know they're there. We're working on them. They are matters we need to resolve. We believe we have an equitable path forward, but we've got to put it together for you.
Well, I'm not going to pursue it, but you don't know that you have an equitable path forward when you don't have all the information. It's a statement. It's a little premature to make that statement. Equity is in the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah. That's fair.
Other questions? Okay, why don't I open the public input portion of this item? Thank you, Mr. Yao. And will be followed by John Walsh.
Good afternoon. My name is DJ Moore of Latham & Watkins, and I'm here on behalf of Mapleton RDS Real Estate. We're one of the property owners on Site 14. Mapleton just received notice of the staff's recommendation on the selected site and of this hearing last night. And so while we recognize Metro's goals of moving this process along expeditiously, we want to note that the hearing process for this is moving extremely fast in comparison to the environmental review process. And our client has asked us to look at the environmental and policy issues concerning this site. They did not expect this site to be selected due to costs that Supervisor Yaroslavsky was pointing out earlier. We want to note that there's a difference between the cost of acquiring this site in the EIR and what's in your staff report today on a magnitude of $10 million. And the site was previously one of the higher cost sites. So we'll be submitting comments for the board's consideration and your staff's consideration. Thank you.
Mr. Walsh.
Staff, how many acres are we proposing to acquire on the Crenshaw project?
It's 17 acres.
17?
Yes.
What is the cost per square foot?
Yeah.
Is it $280 to $290 million? Is that just the land costs?
It's land as well as improved facilities. The yard, the maintenance facility itself for 45 cars.
Do you know what the per square foot cost of the land is?
I do not have that figure off the top of my head.
Can you calculate that for us and get it to us as soon as possible?
Yes, I will be.
And how that compares to land acquisition costs in other parts of the county?
Yes.
Such as the Santa Monica facility, for example. How does the arborvitae per square foot cost compare to the Santa Monica per square foot cost? The Santa Monica cost for land was $50 million. The total development cost is $144 million, something to that effect. And I'm just curious, I don't know how many acres the Santa Monica piece was. It's probably a little smaller, but not by much. Just trying to understand why land at Arborvitae may be this high, and land in downtown Santa Monica is, to those of us who don't live in Santa Monica, it's central Santa Monica. Anything in Santa Monica is valuable.
Central.
Councilwoman, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, I know.
Just check your reserve fund. Yeah, go ahead. Do you want to respond to me?
We'll get the information in terms of the per square foot cost for you.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Walsh, that's your turn.
John Walsh, $1.2 million, successful server request at HollywoodHighlands.org. Zev is catching up. I think he's about 50,000. Random drug testing. You know, when one of your staff comes up here erratically, one of your staff, Mr. Yale, seems to be having some sort of air controller siesta sitting here. I'm wondering whether we should have some immediate testing of Mr. Yale and others. And $300 million, hey, that's $300 million? No big deal. I mean, you cut $30 million out of bus service, just throw it in there. And incidentally, you said Dollar Rent-A-Car is one of the people at the site, one of the corporations at the site. Hey, who owns Dollar Rent-A-Care? That's right. The Caruso family. So I guess they're involved in this too. Incidentally, just stay awake, Mr. Just keep staying awake. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Put on this item and the matters before the committee. Discussion? Motion? Do we want to move forward? Right. Okay, we're going to
move it to the board without
recommendation.
That's fine, and maybe we can get the answers that were requested by then.
So. Okay.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Right. Right. So.
And not on Thursday morning, maybe early in the week.
Yes.
Okay.
This afternoon.
Thank you.
Right. So the motion we have from Mr. Katz is we are going to move this forward to the board without recommendation. You're going to report back on the questions and issues raised to this, at this committee, and we'd like that as early as possible before the board meeting. And the board meeting is a week from tomorrow. Okay, without objection, then that motion is approved. And on now to item number 3 on our agenda, which has to do with issues regarding alternatives analysis and the draft environmental impact statement and conceptual engineering for the Van Nuys Rapidway project. Berlin?
Yep. We're asking you today to award a firm fixed price contract with KOA Corporation the amount of $4.1 million to complete the alternatives analysis and draft environmental impact report as well as statement and conceptual engineering for the Van Nuys Rapidway project, which is part of the East San Fernando Valley Measure R North-South project. We're also asking you to approve contract modification authority up to 20% of the contract value. Additionally, we received a $743,000 earmark, a federal earmark for Reseda Boulevard. We've worked with the City of Los Angeles to identify improvements that would be eligible for that earmark, and we're asking you to authorize the CEO to negotiate and execute a pass-through agreement with the city for the installation of pedestrian lights at selected bus stops along Reseda Boulevard. The City of Los Angeles will provide the local match, and they did approve the pass-through agreement at their March 28th City Council meeting. So with that, Walt Davis, our project manager, is here to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? We do have two speakers, so one speaker. We have Dr. Clyde Williams.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno, Northeast LA. We like this project, except for one thing. We believe that it actually applies to a lot of other projects in the near future. So what we would like to do is especially support the alternative of bus rapid transit systems as an alternative, and that you actually prepare a programmatic EIR for rapid bus systems anywhere within the MTA. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Williams. That concludes the public input portion of the item.
Okay,
we have motion and a second. Any objection? Okay, then that moves forward. We've adopted that. Item number 3, we'll move on to item number 4, which has to do with freeway sound walls.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. We are requesting approval for the CEO to be authorized to establish life of project budget costs for four sound wall projects. These are the four projects, package number 5 and 6 for the I-405 located in Los Angeles, and package 6, 7 is located SR-134 in Burbank, and package number 8 is 605 freeway in the city of Whittier. Caltrans has performed the design on these sound wall projects. We have done constructability review on these projects. We have also applied the checklist that we said we are going to do for all the sound wall projects. So we feel the project budget cost is within the estimated range. So we are requesting approval to establish the life of project budget costs.
Director Kapp.
Murthy, as you know, we've had trouble with sound wall projects in the past.
Yes, sir.
And I want to make sure we don't have them again, obviously, as do you and everyone else. How is this different, or what changes have we made to make sure we don't have those problems? And second piece is, you said Caltrans had done all the specs on this and done all the prep work. So if there is something discovered that, I mean, we're relying on Caltrans, so any cost overrun that comes from something new or something different ain't going to be our problem. It's going to be that's on Caltrans for the work they've done?
Right.
Right? I just want to make sure we're all on the same page on that. Because I thought for a change we'd ask it up front rather than afterwards. So,
Mike, you want to?
Am I on?
Yeah.
We've changed our designs. What we've done now is we've done more borings. We've done bigger borings to identify the locations where they're would be boulders. In the past, we had gone with pile footings because they were less expensive to construct, and where necessary, we put in spread footings, which are more expensive. So we feel pretty confident that these designs are going to, you know, be adequate. We've discussed our specs with MTA now, and we have a clear understanding of what our spec says, and so we don't get different interpretations like we have in the past.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. What's the cost per mile on these things? Back of the envelope, I'm not...
Close to $1 million a mile.
Still $1 million. I swear, a bunch of us and some buddies and some beer. It's rebar and cinder block, guys. I mean, how hard can it be? We'll go Saturday?
If we knew we were out there doing it, you'd have plenty of people on the highways looking for us.
Okay.
And can I make sure we're clear on something? What I think Director Katz may have asked is, maybe I'm wrong, is... In the event there's an overrun, MTA is not on the hook, but in fact Caltrans is.
If it's as a result of the work they did, not if, you know.
Now, is that the case, yes or no?
If it, it's like Director Kent said, if it is something that Caltrans admitted in our design, then we would have to stand behind our design. But if it's something that's unforeseen, then we're going to have to discuss the unforeseen. Because anytime you do geological type work,
okay, that was half, you and I are asking the same thing. I got about half of it this now, as you clarified, because I thought earlier we were talking about, new ways of identifying boulders underground and all that sort of stuff, so that should minimize the possibility of those kinds of things happening. So if there is something that, I'm not sure why that's a discussion point, because we're relying on the Caltrans engineering.
Well, in my estimation, I think Caltrans is going to look to us for money one way or the other. If it's unforeseen, for whatever reason, they're going to ask us to pay for it. If it attaches to Caltrans, then it's going to come out of some L.A. County allocation. So,
Yeah.
Minimize the potential for problems.
They've got those crack peg engineers, so,
And we have public input, so why don't we have John Walsh?
Thanks, Mike.
On sound walls.
John Walsh, David Yale is sleeping. I want to be very quiet. We approve of $1 million. After all, freeways, to not listen to freeways is worth $1 million a mile. David Yale is sleeping.
Mr. Walsh. Do we have a motion? Okay. Any objection? Okay. Then we've approved and moved forward with moving item 4 forward, and we now move on to item 5, which has to do with findings and statement of overriding considerations in terms of a supplemental environmental impact report for the Metro Gold Line Extension Construction Authority on the Eastern Operation and Maintenance Facility, as well as budget. Welcome again.
Thank you. Good afternoon, board members. Basically, what we are here asking you is to approve the findings of statement of overriding considerations on this project and approve an envelope so that they can proceed with the acquisition, design, and construction. Sherazade Amiri is here with us, and she will walk us through this project. And if there are any questions, we're here prepared to answer. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon. I think there's been a lot of discussion today about the necessity for regional rail maintenance facilities, so I won't go into that. But basically, the item before you request, as Diego said, we have to do this approval of findings and statement of overriding considerations in accordance with CEQA for a supplemental EIR that was prepared by the Gold Line Foothill Construction Authority. And also it requests that you approve a budget envelope of $264.5 million total, with MTA paying $198.4 million of that, which represents 75%. We arrived at the 75% based on the capacity of the O&M facility and the number of rail vehicles needed to operate the Gold Line Phase 2A at the ultimate 3-car, 6-minute peak headway. This basically sets a cap, Metro's cap, for this project, with the exception of what we're referencing, and that was in the funding agreement itself as excluded costs. Those are unidentified costs at the present time, but they have to do with relocation and remediation of some of the current property owners and folks that are in the occupying the property for business. Per our agreement with the Gold Line Construction Authority, we'd have to come back to you and have you approve the excluded costs once those are determined. I wanted to draw your attention to the fact that as future rail lines are constructed, MTA anticipates that they will be paying either for their portion of this rail facility or any additional rail facility that needs to be constructed for their purposes, again, based on the capacity versus number of rail cars necessary. The funding, I think I mentioned that earlier, but it's supposed to be provided through Prop A 35% and or Measure R 2%. That basically concludes my presentation.
Sure.
I have a question. It has to do with the cap.
Yes.
I'm very cautious and concerned when we have excluded costs that we have no idea how much they'll be and who pays for them. Does MTA pay for them? Does the authority pay for them? Don't know how much and don't know who's going to pay.
We attempted, not knowing that, we attempted to define the excluded costs. As I said, the relocation, loss of goodwill, equipment and fixtures, and remediation. It's in the funding agreement. When that comes back, once again, Metro will pay 75% of those costs. Gold Line Construction Authority will pay 25%.
So the 264.5 is not the total. It's the total at this time because we don't know what the extended cost.
It's the total for the land acquisition and for the design and for the basic construction. So if, for instance, the construction contract has a cost overrun at this point that would take us beyond our $198.4 million, it's all on the Gold Line Foothill Construction Authority to pay for it, unless it's something that Metro asked for.
Okay. It just makes me nervous to approve things that we don't have any idea how much they are. And in fact, that's what we're doing here, excluded costs. And I understand your position, and I respect the way you've gotten to it, but I don't have to like it.
No, I appreciate that.
Any other questions right now? No. Then we'll open the public hearing, public input portion of the item, and John Walsh.
Good
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. That's for people who are listening to this on the intercom. And this says, statement of overriding considerations. In other words, there are unmitigatable negative impacts involved in the construction. You are despoiling the land. And as far as the goal line is concerned, you don't even do separate ridership announcements of boardings per daily boardings on the eastern extension. You just roll it in to the Pasadena line. When you pull it out, you have about 5,000 or 6,000 boardings a day. That's pathetic. It's about half or one third of what you said you would get. And most of the boardings are at the Little Tokyo station. It's a ghost line. It's as the Pasadena line, we've always called it the ghost line. Keep extending it forever.
That concludes the public input portion of the item. Okay, Mr. Katz, Director Katz.
If you can clarify one thing for me again, and I think I apologize because I think Diane may have asked this earlier, but our 75%, is that a hard cap, a life of project cap on the maintenance facility?
For the purposes of the goal line, yes.
What do you mean for the purposes of the goal line?
Well, what we are anticipating is as the system expands, other projects will come in, and basically we pay MTA for the 75% investment for construction.
I understand that, but I want to make sure that we don't wind up paying 76%, 77%, 80%, that all is the 75%.
All we pay is 75%, with the exception of the excluded costs. We will come back with that.
What are the excluded costs?
Remediation, loss of goodwill, basically relocation of the current tenants.
Why is that
tenants
excluded from the 75%?
Simply because even when we put the finding agreement together, we didn't anticipate that we would know that at the time when we come back to you. Those we pay 75% of as well.
So we pay 75% of all the things we expected to pay 75% of, and then these excluded things, we also pay 75% of whatever the excluded things are.
We will come back to you with, the board has to approve that, and we would end up paying 75% of it.
Okay, I just want to make sure in the agreement that the 75% piece
is consistent.
A hard cap in the agreement.
It is.
And never go higher percent. I don't care about getting paid back. I'm going to care in a minute. But for this discussion, we at no time will pay more than 75% of the cost.
Yes, you're correct. We will not.
John?
Director Pisano.
Actually, conceivably, but the cost went above the dollar cap that's there. Metro would pay less, and the gold line would end up paying more.
Percentage rate.
Yes. Well, actually, 100% of costs.
Cost overrun.
The gold line is picking up all those costs. The Metro's worst case is 75%. We actually, from the gold line's perspective, hope to keep the cost as low as possible. We both benefit from that.
Sure. Appreciate that, John. Thank you.
Motion?
Move approval of the item.
Second. Okay. Then, without objection. Okay. Ordered.
Thank you.
Okay. And that concludes item. Oh, did I do the public input on it? Okay. I can't keep track anymore. Item number six. We're about 15 minutes. We know we started late. We're a few minutes into 15 minutes into the Finance and Budget Committee. So, do we feel we need to do the status update on the grade separation projects for Alameda Corridor East, or defer this? Okay, great. Number seven, Mr. Yale, is there anything to add to that, or did you pretty much cover that?
David, it's just bad, real bad news, right? So
I think we might have a little flavor.
Okay.
there, make it very quick.
Yep. Sure.
The chair is anxious to close the meeting.
Bottom line is, without a state budget, the fall bond sale is at risk. We are coordinating advocacy efforts at statewide, regional, and local level. We always encourage the board's support in this, and we'll work with everyone to help accomplish that. But I can't state it any simpler. Without a state budget, no fall bond sale. There's a lot of thousands of jobs, millions of dollars in projects at risk.
Some would just want to push on the bonds without addressing the underlying problem of a budget. There has to be a state budget to get the bonds sold. If it isn't, doesn't happen, really bad things happen.
Okay. That concludes that. Okay, then before I move into the public input on this item, we can continue the update on the regional rail matters and
I can find it here.
Yeah, very, very briefly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to find it on this. There.
Regional rail, we're going to continue.
We're going to defer it.
We're going to defer that. And CEO, before we go to the public input on.
We have taken possession of Union Station. We'll be reporting more on development activities. We had a red line train stop yesterday in the tunnel due to a door failure. We'll get back to you on that. We just completed 21 public meetings on the 710 corridor project. FTA is reviewing the situation as regards to Aviation Boulevard on the Crenshaw line. That concludes my report.
Okay, so we'll go back to the public input on item 7. We have John Walsh and Dr. Clyde Williams, and that will conclude our meeting.
Yeah, it's a door failure. Your whole system is falling apart. The red line was paralyzed because of a door failure yesterday. You don't give a damn because they're mostly minorities taking it, 80%. I want a timeline, drop dead. If there's no budget and there's therefore there will be no bond sale, give us dates so we know when the whole 3010 disappears. I just want to say, when you had that vote the other day, last month, seven people who voted to cut the bus lines, they were all white. Of the six people who voted against it, they were all minority except Katz. This is a race war. It is a race war. And the Bus Riders Union doesn't want to say this because Antonio can cut the funding of the Bus Riders Union through the organizations that fund them, so they're very polite. But I'm not polite because I'm a white man, and none of white people aren't polite.
Dr. Clyde Williams.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno, Northeast LA. One of the things that brought my attention was SR 710, North Extension Tunnel, an STIP augmentation, $5 million. What for? I thought this was a Measure R project. Are we baiting and switching? And you might say, based upon this afternoon, it seems like a big shell game. So you have a project management information system, it would seem that you would be able to identify costs, projection, and schedule. So what is $5 million doing in this one for SR 710 North Extension? Thank you.
Okay, and that was on the 710, so that's your public comment. Thank you very much. Okay, with that, we'll conclude the Planning and Programming Committee meeting. And shortly, the finance and budget will convene. Thank you.